Morning. I think the kids besides Porter and maybe Barrett are staying in here this morning. Preacher's kids, out that way, please. Bye, boys. Be good. Porter. I was talking to you about being good. Morning. Petros, it's good to see you, buddy. They already scare you back in here? Ewan, did they already scare you back in here? Yeah. We need you in here. It's great to worship with y'all this morning. Aaron and Alyssa, it's great to have y'all here. We've been going through this Immeasurably More series. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter. We're going to be in verse 20 and 21. I apologize. I've been in these two verses for, I think, 4 weeks now. I'm slow. We're moving slow. But I have really tried to present these two verses as a vision series for our church. I hope you've been as blessed as I have reading through these two verses. I hope this series has and will continue to be challenging to you. I hope that as we're reading through this, you're experiencing and seeing the way that God wants to work through you in mighty ways. I hope that as we've spent these weeks studying just these two verses, you've been able to meditate on it. And my prayer for you is that you'll memorize these two verses and understand them and let it dwell in your heart and really understand the power that God is giving each and every one of us. I don't ever ask y'all to memorize verses. These are two that I pray that we memorize as a church, that we use as a church. And the reason I don't ask you to memorize Scripture all that often is my memory is no bueno. I do my best at times, and sometimes I don't. But memorizing Scripture I know is tough for some of us. To understanding concepts is really important as well. But these two verses, I ask and I pray that you dwell on these, that you meditate on them. Now to Him, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do, depending on your translation, immeasurably more than all we could ask or even imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. We find out that in us, and in verse 21 is the church. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. A lot packed into these two verses. But we spent the majority of our time the last several weeks just in verse 20. And we're gonna look at verse 21 this morning. Because it is amazing as well. See, verse 21 to me is Paul realizing what he said in verse 20. And verse 21 is his reaction. And his reaction is worship. Paul here in 20 understands that the power that God has within us in verse 21, it's like that slaps him in the face to where he's like, now we got to worship God for what He has and is doing. God in 21, He says, to Him be the glory throughout all generations forever and ever. Paul's understanding of God's power and how it's available through us, and it's not only available through us, it becomes part of us when the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. And when that sinks in, Paul's reflection, Paul's reaction more appropriately is worship. When the reality, I think, of what God has done and is doing in and through us, and when we understand God's character more and more, this is the appropriate response, is worship. When the reality of who He is and what He has done for you hits you like it hit Paul, this is the appropriate response. And as great as Ryan and Melanie and Sarah and all the Cadwells are at leading us in musical worship, that's not the only worship that we're talking about this morning. Sometimes when the Lord hits you with who He is, all you can do is thank Him for it, praise Him for it. To Him be the glory. If you've never found yourself in awe of what God is doing in and through you, in and through your church, you need to take a step back and reflect. You need to try to put yourself in to understanding God's character. If when God has made Himself real and you never thought to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever, you have to find out what's missing. So this morning I got a question for all of us. If God is not only able to do immeasurably more than all we pray or all that we can imagine, and if He will continue to do this, if we believe in that, what is your response to that? We've talked a lot about what God has done in this church the last 70 years. We've asked you to reflect on the things that God has done in and through you. What's your response? I started this series several weeks ago, and I ask that we give thanks for what God has done in and through this church and in and through you. Next week, we're going to hear testimonies. I ask those that would like to share a testimony to come up next week and give a 4 or 5 minute testimony of what God has done in and through you in this church. But today, knowing what God has done and what He's continued to do, what is our response? So I'm going to ask you as a pastor to take a step of involvement in the mission of God through our church. Be involved. Find somewhere to plug in. And if you don't know where, if you say, I've been coming for several Sundays for several years and I just feel like I'm coming on Sundays and I'm not involved, ask me. I would love to talk to you about it. And if you don't want to ask me, I understand. Talk to one of the elders. That's what they're here for, to spiritually lead and guide and to pray for us. Don't put it off till tomorrow. My email's in the bulletin. My number's in the directory. Feel free to call me anytime. Sorry, Don. There's nothing more that I would love to do than to talk about you being involved in the mission of God through this church. Because God is able to do far more than anything we can ask or imagine, but we have to start asking. We have to start imagining, how can God use me to further His kingdom? How can God use me to give Him the glory that Paul just gave Him? To Him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. God, my response for all You have done, God, my response for You going on the cross, taking my sin on Your back, not only forgiving me and redeeming me, but allowing me to be adopted into Your family, co-heirs with Christ. God, my response back to You is to You be the glory, is worship. So I ask that we as a church continue to worship God for who He is and what He's done. When you think of worship, what do you think of? Number one answer there, what do you think it is?
Pastor.
Say that again.
Pastor.
Pastor. Any other?
Singing.
I think most people, some people think pastor, and I don't sing very well. So some people think, most people think worship is singing. And we do that well. We sing songs like Amazing Grace. Do you have that one church song that just takes you to a place? Sometimes it's our mother's favorite song that she would sing to us growing up. Sometimes it's the lyrics of a song. Songs like Amazing Grace, It Is Well, O Holy Night. Have you ever read the lyrics to O Holy Night? It is intense. O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. And the night of our dear Savior's birth, it's weird, it's 100 degrees outside, I know, but we're long lay the world in sin and error pining. That's the way the state of the world was, consumed in sin. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. Wow. Long lay the world in sin and error pining until He appeared and the soul felt its worth. And we can go through these songs that lead us to these understandings of who God is. And it's amazing. It is worship. And as we went through the book of Ephesians, if you remember correctly, I tried to challenge us to understand that worship isn't just for God. It isn't just for you. It's to the person to your left, and it's to the person to your right. You don't know what they went through this week, this month, this year. And to see you lift your hands and to worship God allows them to kind of erase all that and to say, God, let me give back to you. I know my circumstances are tough, but I want to worship you. We worship Him by remembering Him and what He has done for us by taking the Lord's Supper. And we'll do that next week. We worship Him in fellowship. We don't have coffee and bread out there for you guys to eat and to drink. We have coffee and bread out there so you get here hopefully a little early. And to fellowship with one another. How was your week? How are your kids doing? How can I pray for you? That's what bonds a family together. That's the reason we have that out there, to catch up. We worship Him through the written word, through Bible studies. We try very hard as a church to get you involved into Bible study, to encourage you to go home and to study your word. I do my best to try to preach through the word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, to cover the things that are easy to cover, that aren't controversial, to cover the things that are very controversial but are scriptural. We worship by giving back, giving God our time and our finances. Not just by taking up an offering, which is hugely important in a church and in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But God, thank you for being God, and I want to give back to you. The giving part is one of the best ways to make church not a Sunday activity, but something that goes on throughout the week. So the second thing I ask in this series is that you prayerfully ask, God, how do you want me to give to you? How can I worship you through giving? And there's two ways we give. And they're two very important things to each and every one of us. Our time and our finances. The two things that are most difficult to give of is our time and our finances. And so as we continue to go through this series, we're going to talk about giving. Intentionally praying, God, I know that you want to do immeasurably more, and I thank you for all of this, but how can I give to you, God? How can I do my part, which in essence is worship? One of my favorite chapters, one that has helped mold me in my thinking of what worship is found in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 27. You don't have to turn there, they'll have it up on the screens. James, chapter 1, verse 27. This is my least favorite translation that I've seen in quite a while. Religion starts off incorrect. I don't like to say the NIV is incorrect. But that word, every other time in the New Testament, is translated as worship. Worship that is that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is to look after orphans and widows in their distress. That, to me, is what worship is. It's doing. It's going out and seeing those that are in need and taking care of them. That's what I feel like God sees as pure and holy worship. And it's amazing. Worshiping God in that way is such a blessing. God, all I have is yours. My time, my finances, my family, my thoughts, I want to give them to you. And I'm going to challenge you guys as we go through the rest of this series to prayerfully give back to God what He calls you to give out of worship. You ever thought of giving as part of worship? Scripture, that's what it counts it as, is as worship. Old Testament, New Testament, it is us giving back to God by worshiping Him. And I know this isn't an easy topic. You don't sign up to hear, how can I give more of my time and more of my money? This is something that we like to ignore as a society. I hate it. You hate it. One of our least favorite things to do is to answer the phone and hear somebody ask us to give. And I have not preached on giving ever. I know I haven't been preaching all that long, but I, as far as I can remember, and I told you just a little while ago, my memory's not so good, but as far as I can remember, I have never preached on giving of time or finances, and for that I apologize. Because I would never hesitate about preaching on worshiping through music. In fact, I have. I would never hesitate on preaching through of worshiping through the Lord's Supper. In fact, that is my favorite sermon I think I've ever given here, is the form of worship through taking the Lord's Supper. And how drastic what Jesus did on that day, how drastically different it was than the custom. But if I neglect preaching on giving of our time and finances, I believe that we, as a body of Christ, are missing out. Spiritually and scripturally, we're missing out on giving. So if you're a visitor, I don't always preach on giving. One of my favorite, I'm not supposed to have favorites, deacons said that the church that he went to years ago, once a year the pastor would preach on giving, and several people said, "I'm not coming back. All this guy ever does is talk about money." But the scripture is littered on how we as brothers and sisters in Christ are called to prayerfully and passionately seek God's will and how we give back to Him. Quick example is found in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. The church in Corinth was a very wealthy church. And they had, at this point, almost completely stopped giving. And the needs of the church weren't being met, the needs of Christians were not being met, and the needs of their mission organizations were not being met. And Paul writes them a letter in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. He spends two chapters talking about this. And Paul brings up this church in Macedonia, very poor church, and he talks about how incredibly giving they are. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 through 5. "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know that the grace of God has given... And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently prayed with us for the privileges of sharing in this service to the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us." This church is radically generous, and I hate to use that word radically. I feel like people overuse it, but there's no better word to describe how this church was giving. Church was not giving out of their wealth, but they were giving in a way that was affecting them. And when we think about giving time, have you ever been in a spot where you knew God was calling you to do something, but you just didn't have the time? And you went ahead and you did it. You said, "I know I'm supposed to be here, I'm supposed to be over there, but God, you've got me here right now, and I'm just going to do it, and God, just bless this." That has happened several times to me, and I'll tell you, 100% of the time, God has blessed that. The person that I was late to meet was completely okay with it, and I didn't even have to explain why I was late. Scripture says the church in Macedonia is given out of their poverty, and they were giving above their means, which is kind of the opposite of what the American society understands now. We spend above our means a lot of times, but to give above our means is a stretch. They were radically generous. Some might think that they were insane, that this the way that they were giving versus the way the church in Corinth was giving was backwards. Why so generous? We see it in verse 1. "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. They gave because of the grace of God, allowed them to be generous. It was proof to those and those around them that the grace of God was at work. The way that they give pointed back to grace. Pointed back to God's grace. How are these people giving? By the grace of God. God is allowing them to do this, both financially and of their time. So Paul is going to spend the rest of chapter 8 and chapter 9 begging this wealthy church to give, not out of guilt, not out of compulsion, but he says God loves a cheerful giver. In chapter 9, God says, I will provide. Not so that you can have more, but that so you can be more generous. And ends by saying your generosity results in God being glorified. That's what chapter 8 and chapter 9 is all about. And I know that you have weeks where you don't have time. Some of you had a week this week where you just didn't have time. But you do your best to do the right next thing. Kim and I have talked about this a lot. There are weeks that he would preach and that I preach, and the sermon was on the back burner throughout the week. Something came up, many things came up, and sermon preparation lacked because of it. And it's not to overstate what a pastor does, but getting in front of people that are staring at you and feeling underprepared is very intimidating. But if I find myself doing the right next thing during the week, and I come up here unprepared, God completely blesses it. There are times I come up here very prepared where I studied through the week and I feel like I fall on my face and nobody heard a word that I said. And there are times where I was doing things that God was calling me to do that was not preparing for a sermon, and I get up here and God speaks and I get so many positive responses. It's always doing the right next thing and God blesses it no matter what the consequence is. Now there are weeks where I'm up here not prepared because I was doing things I probably shouldn't have spent time doing during the week, and I get up here and God doesn't bless that quite as much. But and when we, I believe, being God's children, are generous with all that God gives us, people know Him better. I realize I have to be faithful to call you to give generously to the mission of God. And that has to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. So what we are going to do in the next couple of weeks is we're going to share testimonies. We're going to share stories. It's going to be a good small group discussion. But I encourage you to prayerfully ask God, how do you have me giving? This doesn't just go for churchgoers, but the church itself. Because when you give to the church, you should be given to the missions of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. This church, Marshall Ford Fellowship, is called to give back, is called to give to the mission of God, is called to serve this community. And we do that in many ways. The missions committee team this year decided no matter what giving is, we're going to up our percentage this year, and we're going to up it next year too. No matter how giving looks like. Because I believe that when you give financially to Marshall Ford Fellowship, you are giving to missions. Sometimes it goes to Water for All, Partners in Hope. Sometimes it's for Aiden in Papua New Guinea. Sometimes it's for a youth group that desperately needs to hear about the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. I tell you, we have some amazing boys and girls in our youth group. Some amazing boys and girls in our youth group. Should I not say boys and girls? Young men and young women. And some are amazing despite their background. You would be shocked at how many times when I was youth pastor that I had to get involved with social services, with the police, how much drug and alcohol and domestic abuse are in families. And even more so now, as Boone is a youth pastor and has a police officer experience. He is a police officer. See what some of these kids deal with? Just a story this week that I can't even share with you. But we have a safe place for them to come and every week hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. To faithfully come and see people that are part of a unified family that they have never seen or experienced before. To see the stability of a unified family that's unified by Christ speaks so much. And sometimes it's through remodeling for a preschool to come. So kids in the surrounding neighborhoods can learn about the love of Jesus Christ through learning, through counting, through reading. I guess not reading, they're a little young for that. Through education. So last week we had an open house across the way where you come, the kids can meet the teachers. I'm not an emotional guy. I'm not very, very emotional. And it could have just been because my three-year-old is going to be somebody else's responsibility for a few hours. But seeing our church used in such an amazing way as a learning place for boys and girls to hear about the love of Jesus Christ, seeing the building being used in that way hit me. It was just, it was overwhelming. Don and I were both there and we went home and it was just an overwhelming experience. The Spirit of God was there and it was so encouraging. So I believe in my heart that when you give to church, you are giving to missions. And that is God doing immeasurably more. So next week we're going to have testimonies. I'm going to share the testimony on how the preschool got started, how God was right in the center of all that and doing immeasurably more, I guarantee you, than all I could ask or pray or even imagine. But my prayer for you is that if you have been sitting in church for many years now and have yet to ask God to do immeasurably more through you, my prayer is for you to keep coming. Keep being discipled. Get involved in a small group. We have several small groups here that I can share with you. We have a men's group, a Wednesday night prayer group. We have several things that are going on that I can plug you into. But I ask God, how can I give? How can I give to this church? How can I give of my time? Come help with our youth program. Help in our children's program. Join the worship team. But most importantly, take what you get from this family out into the world that you go into. When you leave these doors on Sunday, take what you get from this family and share that in your neighborhood, in your grocery stores, and in those that you come in contact with in Dallas. Go into the world and take the love of Christ everywhere you go. Intentionally be missional to your neighborhood and to your neighbors. And some, God will call you to stay put right where you're at. And some, we fear that, God, tell me how you want me to give. You fear that God's going to send you to Africa or to the Middle East. And for some, that He will. Or Papua New Guinea. But my prayer for you is that you get into the game. Expect more out of yourself. Expect more from God. Pray, God, use me in ways that I can't even imagine. And I'm not the poster child for this. But I believe the way that God has called me to be here this morning is very similar to a lot of what you guys have gone through. Most of you know my story. I came to church here in the third grade. That was a couple years ago. I came every time the doors were open because I really liked the people here. They were really kind to me. I had a great family at home, and this was part of my family. I started coming in middle school and high school because they had free hot dogs and the girls weren't so bad. And so I would come and have fun and fellowship, and I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior on the second pew here. And a few years later, when I was a freshman in high school, I felt God called me into the youth ministry. I didn't want to do that. And I'll be honest, I didn't think youth pastors made enough money. So I decided that's not what I want to do. And God said, no, that's what you're going to do. I had an incredible youth pastor, and it was clear to me that that's what God was calling me to do. And so I applied to one university. I luckily got into it and never second-guessed that calling. But I remember making a deal with God. And this is the honest truth. I said, God, I will be a youth pastor if you promise to never make me a pastor. I honestly had that discussion. Didn't shake hands with God. I guess I should have. But I didn't want to be a pastor because I had known a lot of pastors, read a lot of stories about pastors and their families and the stress that it put on their families. I didn't have a family. I wasn't even dating anybody at the time, but knew that that's not, in my mind, what I wanted to have for my family. And I remember God calling me to be a pastor. And I was asking God, what do you have for me? What do you want me to be doing? God, do you want me to continue to be a youth pastor? And all of a sudden, that started to shift. And God's timing worked out. And I was called to be a pastor. And it wasn't a desire that I had in my own heart. It wasn't in my own life goal. But through praying, God, how do you want to use me? It opened myself up to that. And that's what we are asking you to do as a church. Not follow my example by any means, but have that conversation. God, how do you want to use me? And you'll be shocked how he uses you. It will not be according to your plan, almost guaranteed. Very rarely does God say, you know what, your plan's great, just go along with that. He says, no, I'm going to do immeasurably more than you can even imagine. And I believe one day we'll see, we'll ask ourselves, why didn't I have this prayer earlier? Why didn't I continue this prayer? Because that prayer never ends. God, how can you use me? That never ends. And we're called living stones. We go place to place. We are in the center of God's will. God might have me here for 50 years, and that is my hope. But next week, he might have me somewhere else. I hope not. Because I love you guys. You guys have been part of my family forever. But it'll be a bigger blessing than you ever imagined being in the center of his will. So my prayer for you is that you intentionally pray, God, how do you want me to give to you? How do you want to use me? By the grace of God, I pray that you, when you walk out of these doors, you walk out as missionaries, every single one of us. That's why we say, every member a missionary. That's why we mean it. So I believe when you give to this church of your time and your finances, you give to missions. So heads up, that's what we'll be talking about God doing immeasurably more through us. We'll talk about giving the next few weeks, and I'll tell you it's uncomfortable for me. But I think God will bless us through it. I know God can do immeasurably more through this church. And we have to understand the importance of being used by him in whatever way he calls us to. So if you've been doing the church thing and you showed up and you've never had that prayer, you're not encouraged to have that prayer of how to be used by God, how to give back to God, how to worship God by giving back. If the Apostle Paul were alive today, he would write you a letter. He was good at writing letters. He'd say you're missing out. Because the bottom line, Jesus is worthy. I believe that's what he would say. Jesus is worthy. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 7, you don't have to turn there. There's a long section there that talks about Jesus being worthy. And how we are going to be in heaven and give him all that we have because he is worthy. But he doesn't need it. Jesus doesn't need your time. He doesn't need your finances. He doesn't need you to go out and to preach the gospel. It says that every knee will bow. No matter if Billy Graham preached the gospel or not, no matter if you're preaching, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. But it is a joy and a blessing to give to him because he is worthy. I believe we can get to heaven and be surprised when we see Jesus and think, wow, he was worthy of all that. Or we can get there and see him for the first time and say, I knew it. I knew that he was worthy. I knew that he called me to do this and he was absolutely worthy, more worthy than I could ever imagine. So be ready. That's what we're going to be talking about the next couple of weeks. New Testament, Old Testament giving of time and finances to the mission of God. But next week, I'm going to ask a couple of things from you. We're going to have a praise of what God has done in and through you in this church. So I ask you to contact me this week and let me know if you'd like to share a testimony of how that God has used this church, how God has used you in this church for His power. And two, we're going to pray for our church next week as a family. God, give us direction. God, use us in ways that we can't even imagine. So we're going to do that as a group, and we're going to end that with the Lord's Supper. So I think it'll be a really special time for the family next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are worthy for us to give everything that we have. Lord, we thank you that time is absolutely nothing to you. Lord, I thank you that you can bless our time when we are in the center of your will. Lord, I thank you that we are able to give financially back to you, and you use that to expand your kingdom. Lord, I pray that you make us as a church cheerful givers. Lord, bless us for that, Lord, and be blessed and glorified through that. And we pray that you receive all the glory in everything that we do as a church. Lord, help focus us to live the lives, to be in the center of your will as individuals and as a body of believers. Help us as we leave these doors this morning, God, to have the mentality that we are missionaries. We're missionaries in our homes and in our neighborhoods. And Lord, pray for those and help us be encouraged to pray for those from this church that have gone overseas, that have gone across the U.S. to preach your good news. And Lord, we're thankful that we're able to do all this because of what your Son has done for us. And it's in His name we pray this. Amen.
Steve, I hate to throw you a curveball, but could you pull up Have Thine Own Way, please? Let's sing...